Our text is Deuteronomy chapter 32, 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Beloved, as I said earlier in the service, Deuteronomy 32 contains the song of Moses. And this song has a twofold purpose. First, to vindicate the righteousness, faithfulness, and goodness of God. And second, to warn Israel about her approaching apostasy. After the death of Moses, Israel will turn away from the Lord, so this song warns. And they will worship idols, and they will incur God's wrath. And in the way of repentance, they will again receive God's mercy. And in verses 10 through 14, Moses recounts the gracious, faithful dealings of Jehovah. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And then comes our text where Moses likens Jehovah the Lord to an eagle. And here he describes the peculiar behavior of an eagle with respect to her young chicks. Here's what the eagle does, says Moses. And here's what the Lord does. He stirs up the nest. Jehovah stirring up our nest. Jehovah stirring up our nest. Look first at the disturbing reality, second at the gracious purpose, and third at exclusive trust. Jehovah stirring up our nest. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. The nest, of course, is the home of the eagle where she nurtures her young. And a young eagle is called an eaglet. The nest is built high up in a tall tree or on a remote rocky ledge of a mountain. In such a nest, the eagle lays her eggs, she broods her clutch, she waits for the chicks to hatch, and then those newly hatched chicks, little eagles or eaglets, depend on the mother eagle for food and protection. And the eagle cares for her young. She hunts for them. She brings back the prey and she feeds it to them. She keeps the nest clean and tidy. She fends off predators from the nest. Until the time comes when the little eagles, the eaglets, are ready to leave the nest. But a baby eagle or an eaglet is not ready by itself to leave the nest. The eagle must encourage her eaglets to leave the nest, because it's not supposed to be the case that the eaglets remain in the nest forever. A time comes when they must leave the nest. And we all know that, of course. An eagle is supposed to fly. It's supposed to fly and soar majestically in the heavens. An eagle is supposed to hunt. An eagle must learn to hunt and then catch its own food and find a mate and build its own nest and lay its eggs and care for its young. And so the cycle of life continues. But an eaglet is often reluctant to leave the nest. Put yourself in the position of an eaglet in a nest. He's comfortable in his nest. The nest provides protection and shelter. The eaglet in the nest has a constant supply of food. It has the companionship of its siblings. And what is the alternative to remaining in the nest? It is to fly. And that is not an attractive option to a young eagle. Why fly when you can sit in the nest and be fed by your parent and get fat in the nest? And why hunt when mother brings food to you without any effort on your part? And why risk going out of the nest when there are all kinds of dangers out there in the wild? And so God has designed the eagle in a wonderful way with an instinct to make sure that the little eagles, the eaglets, do indeed leave the nest. The mother eagle knows what to do. She stirs up her nest. At the right time, when the eagles have reached the right level of maturity and are ready, she stirs up the nest. And that verb to stir up means to rouse or to wake up or to agitate. Think of someone who's sleeping and you want to wake them up. You shake them gently to wake them up, or you shake them a little bit harder if they don't wake up after a gentle shaking. And so it is with the eagle. The mother eagle stirs up the nest. She flutters over her young. She flies over her nest. She agitates her young with her wings. And thus she disturbs the peace of her eaglets. Because the mother knows, unlike the eaglets themselves, that the time for sitting peacefully in the nest, waiting to be fed food every day by their mother eagle, that time is now over. And so, she pushes her eaglets with her beak, and she begins to shove them out of the nest, over the edge of the nest, so that they begin to fall through the air. And thus, she takes them out of their comfort zone. She forces them to leave the nest. She forces them to fly. Now, why would a mother eagle do that? Pushing her little eaglets out of the nest. Well, not because she hates them or wants to harm them, but she does that for their good. If the eaglet sat in the nest indefinitely, it would never fly. It would never experience that for which God created it. It would lead a very stunted life. In fact, an eaglet that never learned to fly would either die when the eagle stopped feeding it, or would become fat, lazy, and worthless, sitting in its nest, being fed its entire adult life. And so there must be an incentive for this eagle to fly. And so the mother eagle flutters over her young, stirs up her nest, pushes them out of the nest so that they learn to fly, and then they soar majestically in the heavens, and they reach the full potential as eagles, flying to the glory of their Creator in the heavens. That's the figure. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, and then verse 12 completes the figure, so the Lord alone did lead them. As the eagle, so the Lord. And so Moses here is pointing out a point of comparison between Jehovah and the eagle. It's a figure. It's an illustration. In a certain limited sense, Jehovah is like the eagle, or Jehovah behaves like the eagle. Jehovah designed the eagle. He created the eagle with these characteristics, with these instincts, with this behavior, in order to reflect something of his own glory. And just as the eagle stirs up her nest, so Jehovah stirs up his people's nest, whether Israel's nest or the church's nest, our nest. Israel had a nest. Compare a number of passages, and you'll see the idea of what this nest is. Exodus 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Our nest then, whether it be Israel's nest or the church's nest or our own personal nest, the nest is wherever God's people are comfortable in the world. That's the nest. And God has a habit of stirring up our nest when we become too comfortable in the world. When we put down roots in the world, as it were, God then stirs up our nest. Think of the Old Testament. A lot of nest stirring in Old Testament history. Abraham, who was the father of the nation of Israel, Abraham had a nest, as it were, in Ur of the Chaldees. He was comfortable in Ur of the Chaldees. Things were familiar there. Things were prosperous there in Ur of the Chaldees. And then God says to him, he must leave his nest, commands him to take a journey to an utterly foreign, unknown land, the land of Canaan. And even when Abraham gets there, he's not permitted to settle for very long. He's always moving around. God's always stirring up his nest. And then there's the life of Isaac. And then there's the life of Jacob. Their nests were always being stirred up. And God stirred up the nest of the children of Israel. He brought them into Egypt. And then he shook them violently in Egypt, bringing them out with a mighty hand. And he shook them multiple times in the wilderness. Israel was always on the move, never settling. And then he brings her into the promised land and builds a nest for her, as it were. But again, she hardly had time to settle because she was always being stirred up throughout the time of the judges, for example, always being disrupted, her nest being stirred up, until finally the whole nation is stirred up and sent into Babylon. And this nest stirring that happened time and time again throughout the Old Testament was necessary for Israel and was good for Israel. And Jehovah stirs up our nest also. Our nest is where we feel safe. Our nest is where everything is familiar. Our nest may be where we were born, where everything is comfortable, everything is the way that we like it. And think of the eaglet. When he's born, he knows nothing except the nest. He hatched from an egg which was already in the nest. He meets his brothers and sisters in the same nest, the fellow eaglets in the same nest. His parents, his father and mother eagles, they bring him food in the nest. He knows nothing else apart from the nest. Outside of the nest, everything is unfamiliar, uncertain, and even frightening. And our nest is our family life. Our nest is our employment, where we go every day, 5 or 6 days a week, the same place every day, doing the same basic tasks every day. It's routine. Our nest is our home, where every room is familiar. Our nest is our social life, our friends, our neighbors, our acquaintances. Our nest is our church life. We enjoy the same basic things every week. Bible study, catechism classes, worship services. We like life in our nest. Our nest is our routine. We go to the shops to buy our food. We go on a journey by car or by plane. We go to our worship services on the Lord's Day. We expect there to be stability in our lives and in society around us. Sometimes we're tempted to say life is boring. It's all very routine. But on reflection, we say routine and boring are good. We prefer routine, boring, and comfortable to being in upheaval. Now, Jehovah stirs up our nest. He does that often. He's done that recently in a way that we never experienced before. He shook up our nest. Perhaps you've experienced trials where Jehovah has stirred up your nest. The breakup of a relationship, the loss of employment, sickness or disease, the death of a relative or a friend. These things stir up our nest. These things disturb us and agitate us. They make us uncomfortable. They make us disquieted and afraid. And we say, what is God doing to us? Why is God doing this, stirring up my comfortable life? And then God stirred up our nest quite recently with the announcement that our mission work in Limerick is coming to an end. And that disturbed us and that devastated us. And then he stirred us up by sending COVID-19. and all the restrictions imposed upon us by the government. We were confined to our homes for months. Jobs were, and jobs are, in jeopardy. Businesses were closed. Some businesses are still closed. Travel was disrupted and still is restricted. School was disrupted. Social life was disrupted. A limit to the number of people who can come to your house. Cut off from family and friends for a time. Church services were and still are disrupted. Oh yes, Jehovah is stirring up our nest. And we wonder to ourselves, what is the Lord doing? Why is the Lord doing this to us at this time? We can't say for sure. We can give some basic principles from Scripture. Well, first of all, God is judging the world. COVID-19 is part of God's judgment on the world. God is withdrawing his word from Limerick after 10 years. That's a judgment on that city. God is sending pestilence as a sign of his wrath and the judgment to come, as a sign of the coming of Jesus Christ. And second, he stirs up the nest of his people in order to train them and to chastise them and to teach them to trust him more. Our faith, you see, must be tested. We must learn from these things. God says to us through all of this, you have rested comfortably long enough. It's time for you to leave the nest. It's time for you to fly, to exercise your wings, to learn to find food for yourself, to soar into the heavens. I have been shielding you in your nest, but now I'm pushing you out of your nest. But the eagle is not finished. And neither is Jehovah. The mother eagle does not simply stir up the nest, flutter over her young, push her eagles out of the nest so that they fall to the ground and die. That's not the purpose of the mother eagle. That's not the purpose of God either. That would be foolish. Why would the eagle care for her chicks for weeks and months, feeding them and protecting them in the nest, and then throw them out of the nest after all of those weeks and months? That would make no sense. God did not design the eagle to be so foolish, and Jehovah does not act in that way toward us either. And so Moses continues his description of the eagle's behavior in verse 11. The eagle spreadeth abroad her wings. So she stirs up the nest, she fluttereth over her young, and now she spreadeth abroad her wings. Think of the wingspan of an eagle. The wingspan of some eagles is close to 2 meters long, or 6.5 feet long. That's about the recommended space for social distancing. And the eagle does this with her wings underneath the eaglets. And when she does this, the eaglets, who are just beginning to attempt to fly and are fluttering from the nest towards the ground, they're safe from falling to the ground. They begin to fly, do the little eagles. They flutter, they flap their wings, they falter. But mother's enormous wings are stretched out below these little eagles so that they do not fall. And while the little eagles might struggle, they might be nervous, they might be fearful, they are safe because mother's wings are beneath them. And then verse 11 says, the eagle taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Think of a little eagle. It struggles to fly. It becomes exhausted. It lacks the skill and the coordination to fly. It begins to fall. And the mother notices this. And the mother comes underneath the little eagle, and snatches it up and lifts him up on her wings. It keeps doing this over and over again until the eagle finally learns to fly unaided. Perhaps it does this for many, many times before the eagles are finally able to fly. Brings them back to the nest again, and then does the whole thing over and over again until eventually, with practice, the eagles are able to fly. We read in Exodus 19, verse 4, I bear you on eagle's wings. That's what Jehovah was doing to Israel. Jehovah was training Israel to fly. Jehovah never abandoned Israel, but was training her to fly. And when she faltered and when she failed, Jehovah held her up, bore her on eagle's wings. Or think of Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Very similar. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Not wings, but arms. But the same idea. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are Jehovah's wings. When Jehovah then stirs up our nest, he never abandons us. He doesn't push us out of the nest so that we fall to the ground. He stirs up our nest to teach us to fly, to teach us to trust in him. When God sends a trial, be it sickness, or takes away our employment, or takes away a relative or a friend, he does not abandon us in those situations. He doesn't say to us, fly or fall. That's not what an eagle does. That's not what God does either. And God recently has been taking away what is familiar to us, especially in this new age of COVID-19. We have to remember that God is doing this. God sent COVID-19. God ordained the disease and the death and the devastation. God ordained the restrictions to our lives. God confined us to our homes. God restricted our travel. God cut us off from family and friends. God disrupted our church activities. But God's not saying through all of this, fly or fall, but God's saying, I bear you up on eagle's wings. I have brought you to myself. Trust me. That's what Israel was called to do. Trust the Lord. Believe that he is faithful. He has not changed, beloved. Our circumstances have changed in many ways, but Jehovah, he has not changed. Perhaps this evening you feel like a little eagle, and Jehovah has been stirring up your nest. And you look over the edge of the nest and you say to yourself, it's a very big drop to the ground. And you shuffle uncomfortably. You don't like what you see. You don't think you could possibly fly. And then you see the eagle coming towards you. He flutters over you. He stirs up the nest around you. He gently but firmly pushes you out of the nest. And you say, my life was so comfortable a short time ago, and now I feel as if I'm falling. I am frightened. I flap my wings. I can barely stay up. And then the calling is to look to Jehovah. What do you see, little eagle? You see the eagle's wings stretched out beneath you, and therefore, even if you falter, where will you land? You'll land on eagle's wings, and those wings will bear you up until you are able to fly. That's the beautiful, beautiful figure, beloved, of the text. As an eagle, so the Lord. The reality behind the figure then is the Lord's guidance of his people. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. To lead is to show someone the way and to bring someone along that way. It's not merely to give them directions or to describe the way, but the leader, he walks in front of you and brings you the right way. And that's Jehovah for his people. Israel had to follow Jehovah through the wilderness. When they left Egypt, they had no idea where they were going, didn't know the way to the promised land, couldn't take one step forward without Jehovah telling them what to do, bringing them along the way. He did so with a pillar of cloud and fire. He did so with the Ark of the Covenant, with Moses as their mediator. Verse 10, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And that makes, of course, the wicked ingratitude of Israel even more serious. Jehovah cared ceaselessly for his people. And what did they do? They went after other gods. They were unfaithful. They were rebellious. They provoked God to anger. Verse 15. But Jeshurun, another name for Israel, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. He forsook God. He lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Why did Israel behave in that ungodly, ungrateful manner? Israel had become fat. Or to use the figure of an eaglet, Israel had sat for too long in the nest, fed with the finest foods, until she became fat. That, of course, is Israel in general. The nation as a whole had become fat. They had grown used to God's provision for them, but they had not learned to trust God. Their faith had not been exercised. But the remnant, the true believers within the nation of Israel, they were stirred up and they did not wax fat. They learned to fly. They learned to trust God. They knew that God's wings were always beneath them. There's a worse thing, beloved, than to be stirred up. There's a worse thing than to have one's nest stirred up, and that is to be abandoned so that one becomes fat and lazy and spiritually sluggish. As it were, you have several eaglets in the nest and the eagle only cares for two of them and leaves one of them and lets it grow fat and then leaves it there to starve to death because it can never fly. That was true of Israel. The reprobate in Israel grew fat and idolatrous and perished. But the true children of Israel, they understood the stirring of Jehovah of their nest, and they learned to fly. And the same thing applies to us. God leads us and God guides us when He stirs up our nest. He leads us by His providence. He leads us by His word. He leads us by His spirit. And those three things, providence, word, and spirit, must be carefully related to one another if we are properly to understand how God works. God's providence is His almighty and everywhere present power by which He upholds and governs all creatures. In God's providence, COVID-19 is upon us. In God's providence, the LRF will be disbanded. In God's providence, the government shut down our social life. In God's providence, normal meetings were and are disrupted. Those are the providential acts of God by which He upholds and governs all things. We do not uphold and govern all things. Our calling is to respond correctly to God's providence. And how do we learn to respond correctly to God's providence? God's word. God's word will guide us. God's word is the only authoritative guide for our lives. But then God's word does not give us detailed, precise answers to these questions. Instead, God's word gives us principles by which we must live. Submit to authority. Seek first the kingdom of God. Take upon you the yoke of Jesus Christ. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. These are some of the principles of God's word. And the details of how to implement those principles are left to you as an individual Christian, relying upon the Spirit to guide you by means of the word. And now you have to ask yourself a question. Jehovah has stirred up my nest. Jehovah is in the process of stirring up my nest. Jehovah is pushing me out of my nest. How am I to respond to this? Will I panic? Will I fear? Will I become angry or discouraged or grumpy or irritable? Those are the wrong ways to respond to this according to God's word. Or will I trust in Him? Faith, trust, confidence, those are the right ways in which to respond to these things. And you say, but I did not want these things to happen. I wanted to be in the nest for a bit longer. I was comfortable in the nest. And I share your sentiments. I did not want these things to happen either. But God has shown us His will in these things. God has stirred up the nest. God has fluttered over us as an eagle. God has stretched out His wings, as it were, like an eagle. God is taking us and bearing us on His wings. The day comes when the eaglets do not need their mother anymore. They fly, they soar, they hunt without her. And the day comes when she no longer stretches her wings under her young, because they are now independent of her. But that day never comes for us, beloved. We're never independent of Jehovah. We always need Jehovah. In a certain sense, we're always little eaglets. And he's always the mother eagle, always caring for us, always leading us, always guiding us. His wings, his arms are always under us to catch us when we fall. And we so often fall. And all of this, beloved, presupposes a prior relationship. Why does the eagle do this? Well, fundamentally and obviously, it's because the eaglets are her young. There's a relationship between the eagle and the eaglets. She's their mother. She loves her young. God has put an instinct into the eagle to love her young and to care for her young. And Jehovah, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he loves his church. He loved Israel and he loves us. And because we are his children, he cares for us. He has made us his children, and therefore he has committed himself to care for us. Not because he has to, not because we're worthy of it, but because he loves us, and therefore he cares for us. He judges and destroys the wicked, and when he stirs up the nest of the wicked, he does so to destroy them. But when he stirs up our nest, the nests of his children, it is for their salvation and not for their destruction. He's shown us that love. He's chosen us to be his own peculiar people in the decree of election. He has redeemed us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the result of that love is trust. Just as the eagles trust the mother eagle to feed them, so we trust Jehovah to care for us. There's that relationship. He's our Father in heaven. He loves us. We love him in return, and we trust in him. But that faith must be exercised. It must develop. It must grow. And God knows how to exercise our faith so that it grows. It's easy to say, I trust God, when we sit comfortably in the nest. And while, as it were, God puts food into our mouths, it's quite another thing to trust God when he stirs up the nest and when he bids us to fly. Do we trust in him then? Do we trust him in the midst of a pandemic? Do we trust him when all of our plans are thrown into disarray? Do we trust him when the country goes into lockdown, when sickness and death come to our homes? And therefore, Moses reminds Israel, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Jehovah, who led Israel, was alone. Jehovah did not need the help of anyone else. And therefore, Israel must trust in Jehovah alone and not be tempted to find refuge in some other god. And the wings of Jehovah alone uphold his people, especially in these difficult times. We must never forget that. We must never be tempted to seek help in idols. And so, beloved, we trust him. We trust him when we are sitting comfortably in our nest, when all things are at peace in our lives. We trust him then, and we trust him when he stirs up our nest. We trust him by waiting upon him. And that's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art our God, the God of our salvation, the God who loves us, cares for us, and leads us. And may we trust in thee more and more, especially when thou dost send afflictions into our lives which stir us up and make our lives difficult. May we use these afflictions to learn more about thee, and may our faith be strengthened by thy Spirit working through these means. For Christ's sake, amen.